What did the judge actually figure out when approving the big AT&T-Time Warner merger? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. A federal judge has handed down the decision. AT&T can buy Time Warner for $85 billion. After all, the government sued to block this, saying it would raise prices for consumers. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is here with us.
AT&T is a telecom company, the biggest in the world, and it owns some TV providers like DirecTV. It's buying Time Warner, which owns HBO, CNN, TNT. They create the shows distributed through providers like DirecTV. And as you said, the government tried to block this deal. It argued that the merger would hurt competition, specifically by allowing AT&T to raise prices on its competitors if they wanted to buy those shows that Time Warner creates. The government said that would cost consumers hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
All right. So that's the context. But what's actually in this decision?
So it is 172 pages long. It's very colorful. The judge, Richard Leon, snarks on a government witness. He quotes Bob Dylan when explaining competition from Netflix and Prime. And he says there's no evidence AT&T would try to charge its competitors more. And that if it did, they could just decide not to buy its programs, that shows on CNN and other networks aren't must-haves. The judge also said this merger will actually help consumers, that it'll save AT&T customers about $350 million a year, and that it won't eliminate any competitors because it's what's known as a vertical merger between two companies that are at different stages of the production process. So a content creator, Time Warner, and a content distributor, AT&T. They don't compete now, and joining forces won't change that. The judge ruled against this case, or ruled against the government, that is, emphatically. There were a lot of exclamation points. The judge said it was a case where both sides were on different planets, basically, and that, quote, small wonder it had to go to trial.
And he strongly suggested the government not appeal. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you. So set your smartphone timers to about 7 hours and 10 minutes from now. That's when the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve will announce a 0.25% increase. Will announce. I'm not couching that in mushy language. The news will be accompanied by commentary from the Fed that will be scoured for hints about how many more rate hikes we might see in our near future. Now, to proof that language is power, and so is organization, as early as today, the Trump administration could announce plans to rename the Department of Health and Human Services as part of a broader reshuffling of federal government departments. Nancy Cook, White House reporter for Politico, has been on the team writing about this. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So a reorganization of the government, like what?
Well, one of the big parts of this is that the Office of Management and Budget, which oversees all the money in the budget of the federal government, wants to move all of the entitlement programs to HHS, and that's the Health and Human Services Department. And what that would do would be putting things like the food stamp program underneath HHS. And there's a feeling that if the Trump administration tries to consolidate sort of where all these programs are originated from, that they'll try to lump them into something that is just seen as welfare, not something necessarily that Americans are entitled to, like food stamps, you know, Medicaid, all of these programs. And there's a worry that it'll just make it easier to cut.
And your piece suggests they might even change the name of the Department of Health and Human Services?
Exactly. There's a move potentially to rebrand the way that HHS is even called, and so that it becomes much more of an agency sort of solely focused on delivering these programs and is sort of siloed off in that sense. HHS is responsible for Medicaid, and you know, we've already seen the administration try to make tweaks to that by imposing work requirements or allowing states to force Medicaid recipients to have to work in if they want to get those health benefits.
So they might put, we don't know, but welfare back in the title of whatever this umbrella agency were to become?
Absolutely. We don't know exactly what the title will be. But, you know, part of this is a fight over language. Some advocates really want these to be called entitlement programs because they feel like when there's a need that people are should be entitled to get these programs. They're part of the federal government program and have been for many years since the New Deal. But, you know, definitely the Trump administration prefers to call these welfare programs. There's a sense that politically they're a bit easier to target and cut. And so it's really a fight over you know, how to brand these programs and what that new configuration at an agency could look like.
But the reorganization may not stop at these welfare programs. It could be wider, possibly.
You know, presidents historically have struggled with this. You know, Bill Clinton, for instance, also wanted to shrink the size of the federal workforce. So this isn't something just that President Trump has come up with. But his administration has been very disturbed by the federal government. And so this could be a broader reorganization that would definitely attempt to probably have less people working in the federal government and also make it easier to fire people.
Nancy Cook, White House reporter for Politico. It's been following the story closely. Nancy, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
First, the U.S. found Chinese telecommunications equipment maker ZTE busted Iran and North Korea sanctions, and there's worry its tech helps Chinese spies. And then when the U.S. banned the company, it nearly went out of business. Then President Trump, after talking with Chinese officials, figured out a way around the ban. But Republicans and Democrats in Congress now have a strategy in place to reimpose the ban, a move that is likely fatal for ZTE. Won't President Trump object? Well, Republican Senator Bob Corker, who supports banning ZTE, says he doesn't think the president cares, suggesting Trump's been winking and nodding to that effect. P.S. Imagine the reaction if China's President Xi were ever to get wind of that. ZTE stock resumed trading today after a hiatus. That stock fell nearly 42% in Shanghai. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.